Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
And now, without further ado, let's begin.
I am addicted to liminal spaces. You can find plenty of videos with examples across YouTube. Before I knew what liminal meant, I was enthralled with the idea. To put it as simply as I can, the definition of liminal describes the initial or transitional stage of a process. It is also the boundary of a threshold. I guess I identify most with the stillness and strangeness of these places. There's usually no exit you can see. They are empty, and most have an overwhelming nostalgic feel. It's like we have been to these places before. Seeing a living room with no furniture and old 80s-style green carpet speaks to some of us. I'm sure most had a friend's place that looked like this, or maybe it was your own house. When you image search liminal spaces, there are a lot of hallways that pop up. I'm sure not many of us had hallways in our home, but you must have been to a hotel or two, right? It's familiar, but eerie. It's the best example of liminal. It's a transition. A hallway takes you somewhere, but when you can't see the exit immediately, it is sometimes heart-pounding. There is something about the fear of these places that appeals to me. Don't get me wrong, I love the nostalgia, but fear is what drives me. Fear keeps you alive. The deeper I dove into liminal spaces, the deeper down the rabbit hole I got. I live here now. I seek it. I seek what you are too afraid to find. I have been in the back rooms and survived. My first time, I didn't even know what was happening. I had no idea I was there. After I realized what happened to me and how fortunate I was addicted. You think it's hard to no-clip back to reality? Try doing it dozens of times. This is the first time it happened to me. 3 years ago, I was a deputy sheriff for one of the larger cities in the U.S. At the time, I was assigned to the electronic monitoring unit. We installed and monitored tethers, or ankle bracelets. Each officer had a caseload of 30 to 40. If the offender was fortunate enough to receive a tether as part of their bond condition, then we would enforce the rules associated with said tether. Usually it went well, with most obeying their court-ordered curfews or house arrest rules. Some men and women were assigned alcohol tethers. It's like a handheld preliminary breath test, which they had to blow in 5 times a day to prove they are not inhibiting alcohol, of course. These are mainly given out for drunk driving type offenses. I'm sure you could figure that part out. I was sitting at my desk, monitoring my caseload, doing paperwork, whatever encompasses my day-to-day work life. A partner of mine, C, came up to me, dropping a file on my desk. What's this? I said. Name's not important. She has missed several blows, can't get a hold of her. I have a couple locations she might be at. Do you want to go look for her with me? He said. This is another part of our job, one that is always exciting. When someone tries to cut their device off or doesn't fulfill their responsibilities imposed on them by the court, we go look for the offender. We call them absconders. They are now violating their bond conditions and we have to find them. Being that alcohol tethers don't have a GPS element to them, we have some work to put in to find them. As mentioned, the offender he was looking at had not taken an alcohol test in a while. He made some calls, determining what the last location she was at. We started there. To set the scene, the subject was at a location in southwest Detroit. Not a great area. It was about 8 o'clock at night in the late fall, which meant it was cold and dark. Tough conditions to start searching for someone. Pulling up to the possible last known location, we were looking at a house that looked out of place for that area. Southwest is known to have one-bedroom ranch-style houses. This residence looked like something out of Hill House. It was a well-kept, maybe a three-bedroom, three-bath home. The lawn was beautiful. The lanterns outside were pretty, but felt foreboding. As soon as we approached the front door, I had a bad feeling. I posted at the corner of the house. My partner C went to the front door. After knocking on the door and announcing ourselves as part of the sheriff's department, it slowly opened. A lady slowly peeked her head out. Strangely enough, she focused her gaze on me, not my partner, right in front of the door. I'll never forget her face. It was human, make no mistake about that. But it looked like paper mache, with a long, scraggly wig on top. I honestly couldn't tell what ethnicity she was. Her skin had a glisten to it, but the color was off-putting gray. My partner continued with the mission. "Ma'am, we're here with the sheriff's department. Is Camille here?" She finally moved her gaze from me to my partner. Her dead black eyes stared at C for a moment before she finally spoke. "Camille? Yes, yes, she is here." My partner looked at me with a "what are we getting ourselves into" kind of look. "Okay, great. So can we come in and talk to her?" he asked her. Without technically giving consent, the supposed homeowner turned around and waved us inside. I made my way inside behind my partner. While C talked to the strange woman, I immediately noticed a ledger book on an older-looking desk right in front of the door. It had several entries from what appeared to be caretakers. The person signed their name when they arrived, when they departed, and a summary of what they did. As I suspected, these people were caretakers of sorts. This lady obviously could not take care of herself and needed some in-home nurse help. I quietly tapped my partner on the shoulder, showing him the book. The name of the person we were looking for was in the book several times, although she had not signed in on the day we were here. Not quite sure what our next move was, we talked about searching this place. At this moment, I felt a bump on my leg. While we were talking, we both seemed to forget about the lady we were talking to. Looking down, I jumped back a bit, seeing the strange woman on all fours at my feet. She slowly looked up at me. "Camille?" is all she said, and that is all she would say. Louder and louder. "Camille? Camille? Camille?" She almost screamed. She scooted around on her butt, using her arms to move her body around the floor. Now, we were in real disbelief. "Okay, man, let's just clear this house, and if we find her, we find her," C said. We both knew this situation was off, but started searching the house. The entire time, this woman was yelling for Camille, never once getting back to her feet, just kind of following us on the ground. The time must have been around 9 o'clock at night, and it was dark. The inside of the home had one light on. There were no TVs or any electronics of any kind. The house had a strange feeling to it. The layout of this older style home had about 4 bedrooms and 2 floors. Every time I left a room, I swear I was in a part of the house I had not just been in. I would enter a hallway and seemingly be in another part of the house, like I entered a dimensional gap or something. The woman would sometimes be right behind me, without making a sound. I was starting to question how all of this was possible. At one point, we both entered the upstairs, which looked to be a regular upstairs, with bedrooms, or maybe a bathroom at the top of the stairs. As we opened the door initially, it would not budge. It appeared that it had been sealed somehow, like it had been painted over, and the paint had dried in the seams of the door. After putting a little extra effort, the door opened, revealing an attic, not bedrooms. If you remember Paranormal Activity, when the guy finds a picture of his wife as a child in the insulation, that's what it looked like. There was nothing but storage space, insulation, and an older style light bulb with a string hanging from it. The lady was just sitting at the bottom of the stairs watching us, occasionally yelling for Camille. After what seemed like an hour of searching this house repeatedly, going into rooms I swear I had just left, we called it and cleared the property. As we drove off, the woman was now standing right in front of the door, staring at us as we left. According to when we called dispatch and when we cleared, we were only there for 20 minutes. It felt like we were there for well over an hour or two. I don't know what was more unsettling. The fact that it was late at night, the lady yelling Camille's name and scooting on her hands and knees, her quietly showing up right behind me when I had not heard her move, or the fact that she was standing at the door just staring at us as we left. We have not returned to this house. We didn't tell anyone the true story of what had happened. It wasn't until much later I realized I was in some form of the back rooms. My partner, too, I imagine. It is a miracle we both survived. At one point, I opened a bedroom door and was outside. Behind me, my partner bumped into me. We both reached for our weapons. Thankfully, seeing the threat was each other. "I already searched out there," he said. I was confused, but just let it go. I couldn't understand what we were doing here. That is what started my fascination of the liminal world. I began actively looking for this world again. I have found it plenty of times. I quit my job with the sheriff's department. I now traverse the ethereal plane known as the back rooms. I have conquered the main levels, even finding some of the bi-levels. I have traded with and met some great explorers. I can't admit this to anyone, but I have been trying to find that original house that led to my first backroom experience. I have not found it, but I know it's out there. I will travel for the rest of my life until I see it again, in this world or the next.
Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey. If you found this exploration as enthralling as we did, please like, share, and subscribe.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.